Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a board member for Pardes. And this year, Rabbi Schweiger discusses the Torah portion, Matot. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior faculty member of Pardes and serves as the Mashgiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
Today we'll be examining Parshat Matot, and specifically the story of how two and a half tribes, the tribe of Reuven, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, took possession of the lands conquered on the eastern side of the Jordan River. The story is to be found in Numbers chapter 32. We're told in verse 1 that the tribes of Reuven and Gad had numerous flocks, very powerful, and they saw the lands on the eastern side of the Jordan as being excellent grazing land. And so they came before Moshe, Eleazar the priest, and the princes of the community, and made the following observation. The lands on the eastern side of the Jordan, which God has given over to the Jewish people, are grazing lands, and your servants have sheep. It is clear that the logical conclusion is that they should be given this land as their possession. But it is interesting to note that they don't ask for it. Rather, they would like Moshe to draw the conclusion and offer it to them. Unfortunately, Moshe does not do so. There is no response. Silence. And so in verse 5, they have to reformulate their statement and make an actual request. And when we examine this, they say, if we have found favor in your eyes, may this land be given to your servants as their achuzah, their landhold. Do not have us cross over the Jordan River. There are two parts, two requests. Number one, their achuzah, their portion in the land, should be the lands that are on the eastern side of the Jordan. Secondly, they should not be made to cross over the Jordan and fight together with the rest of the Jewish population. And then we see the blistering response of Moshe, which also has two parts. In verse 6, there is the famous line where Moshe says, Ha'achechem yavou lamilchama v'atem teshvufo. Will your brothers go to war and you will just settle down here? Moshe says to them, it is inconceivable that they should just sit back and let the rest of the Jewish population go and fight. There's an inequity, an injustice in allowing such a situation. But then there's a second consideration, which is more significant, which is from verse 7 through verse 15. The second consideration is the step which the tribes of Gad and Reuven would like Moshe to take is demoralizing to the people. It will lead the people to also say, we do not want to cross the Jordan. Let us find our inheritance in the lands on the east. And Moshe says, we've been through this before. 40 years ago, the spies came back, demoralized the people, aroused the wrath of God, and led to a whole generation dying in the desert. And Moshe is warning the tribes of Reuven and Gad, do not step into the shoes of that evil culture of people. Do not bring about the wrath of God and the consequent destruction of the Jewish people. And in verse 16, we're told that the two tribes come near, which can certainly be understood literally, but can also be understood figuratively. The two tribes are trying to bridge the gap in the positions, the wide positions that exist between them and Moshe. And they offer a counter proposal. Let us build pens for our sheep and cattle. Let us build cities for our young children. And we will go before the Jewish people, the spearhead, and fight the battles with them. See to it that they are brought into their place, that they take possession of their land. We will make sure that our children will be fortified from attack by the local population, and we will not return and take possession of our land until everyone else has also taken possession of their land. And the conclusion? Do not make us take possession of the land on the other side of the Jordan. Our possession has already come to us on this side of the Jordan. I would like to note that this whole discussion is a very interesting example of negotiations. And I'd even say negotiations in good faith. B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven have just offered a counter-proposal which tries to bridge the gap, to allay the fears of Moshe by saying that they will go to battle. They are removing the fear of demoralization by saying that they will not take possession until everyone else takes possession. They are removing the sense of inequity. And Moshe responds in verse 20 by accepting their offer but reformulating it. And there are two things which Moshe does which are very important. first. Moshe would like to impress upon them that when they go before the people, they are going not only before the people, but before God. And this is articulated in verse 22. Excuse me, in verse 21. When he says, Va'avar lachem kol chalutzet ha'yarden lifnei Hashem. By the same token, Moshe says, if in fact they carry through their commitment, then they will receive their inheritance. But not just an inheritance, but in verse 22, their inheritance lifnei Hashem, before God. So that Moshe wants to impress upon them that this is not only an issue of their relationship with the Jewish people, but also of their relationship with God. They should see that they are waging the war of God. They should see that their possession is the possession of God. Moshe also wants them to realize that if they do not actualize their commitment, then in verse 23, they will have sinned against God and will be held accountable for that. There is a second point which Moshe makes to them, a very subtle point. When they spoke about what would be the situation in the interim period, they said, we will build pens for our sheep and cattle, cities for our young children. And in verse 24, Moshe says, build the cities for your children and the pens for your sheep. Which comes first? The sheep or the children? Moshe is hinting to the two tribes, you have misplaced your priorities. You are too focused on your sheep and see this as your top priority. Switch your priorities. Focus on the children first and then worry about the sheep. Instead of worrying about your economic well-being, worry about the safety of your children and their future. The point which Moshe makes is well taken. And as I mentioned before, this is a good example of negotiations in good faith. In verse 25 and 26, 27, the two tribes say to Moshe, your servants will do that which our master commands. We will do as our master speaks. And they reiterate the corrections which Moshe made. We will first take care of our children and our women, and then after the cattle. We will go as the spearhead before God. And when it is clear that they have accepted the terms that Moshe has laid down and understood the message, at that point, Moshe, so to speak, draws up the contract, gives the directive to Eleazar and to Yoshua and the heads of the tribes as to what the understanding and agreement is between the two tribes and the rest of the Jewish people. They will go before the people, before God, in the conquest of the land. And if they fulfill their commitment, they will be given the land of Gilead as their inheritance. But then we have verse 30, which is fascinating. But what if they don't fulfill their commitment? It's very interesting that earlier Moshe had made the point to them, if you don't, you will be sinners to God and be held accountable as such. And one could theoretically draw the conclusion, if you don't, you will forfeit any inheritance among the Jewish people. You will be cut off from the Jewish people. And yet we read in verse 30 that Moshe emphasizes, if you don't fulfill your commitment, you will receive your inheritance in the midst of the people in the land of Canaan. Moshe wants to make it perfectly clear to all the parties involved, no matter what happens, it is critical to preserve Jewish unity. No matter what happens, the two tribes should not be written out of the Jewish people. In the worst case scenario, rather than getting the land of their choice, the land which they see is the land of their destiny, they will be given the land which the Jewish people have chosen, in the midst of the Jewish people. But under no circumstances are they to be cut out. The theme of solidarity is a major theme in this section. Moshe emphasizes to the two tribes, how can your brothers go to war and you sit at home? But Moshe emphasizes to the rest of the population, no matter what happens, they are part of your people. They have to receive an inheritance, a landhold in your midst. How does the story play itself out? In the beginning of the book of Joshua, we are told, Joshua chapter 1, Joshua calls the two tribes of Gad and Reuven. In verse 13, chapter 1, verse 13, he reminds them of the commitment which they had made to Moshe, of how they are supposed to be the spearhead of the fighting force and remain with the Jewish people until they take full possession of the land. And in keeping with their word, the two tribes say to Yoshua in verse 16, whatever you command us, we shall do. Wherever you send us, we shall go. We will obey you in the same way as we obeyed Moshe. May God be with you as he was with Moshe. The two tribes are faithful to their word. They once again commit to Joshua as they did to Moses. And then we read later on in chapter 22 of the book of Joshua, how Joshua calls out to these two tribes. And by the way, I should just mention, in Parshat Matot already, after all the negotiations are over, half of the tribe of Manasseh jumps on the bandwagon and also receives a portion on the eastern side. So that it is not just the two tribes, but two and a half tribes. And in chapter 22 of Joshua, Joshua makes a reckoning with them and says to them, you have in fact fulfilled the commitment which you made. You have observed whatever Moshe commanded you to do. You have listened to me in everything that I have commanded you. You have not abandoned your brethren. And then Joshua says, in verse 4 and verse 5, and now is the time for you to go take possession of your land. Return to your tents. But remember to observe the mitzvot and the Torah, which Moses commanded you, to love God and serve God. And then we're told that as the two tribes leave, before they cross the Jordan, they build an altar opposite the Jewish people. And all of a sudden, the Jewish people are afraid of a rift, are afraid that they're building an altar, which is meant to be an alternative place of worship. And they send a delegation, a fact-finding mission, under the leadership of Pinchas, the son of Eleazar. And they said, how could you do such a thing? How could you abandon God? There's even a threat . And at the same time that the Jewish people threaten them and say they will not tolerate what they've done, they also say to them, come and join us. In chapter 22 of Joshua, verse 19, take part of our land where God's tabernacle is. And the response of these two and a half tribes is that you have it all wrong. We are not rebelling against God. We are not leaving the fold of the Jewish people. This is not meant to be an alternative place of worship. This is meant to be a monument to you, to your children, to remind them that we are also part of the Jewish people, so that when we cross the Jordan, you will not write us off. You and your children will continue to see us as being part of the united Jewish people. And their words find favor in the eyes of the delegation. And the story ends on a very, very peaceful note. If I were to summarize what we've done, in this story of Gad and Reuven, there is a request by the two tribes to take possession of the eastern side, which potentially could be a bombshell, which could tear apart the Jewish people in terms of being a divisive measure, in terms of being a demoralizing measure. And yet it seems that they're able to negotiate in good faith, and that in fact their intent was not to create a bombshell, And as a result, they are willing to commit themselves to whatever conditions are laid down and to the credit of the people of the tribes of Gad and Reuven. They are true to their commitment. They take their word seriously. We spoke a few weeks ago about the power of speech. They take speech very seriously. If they made a commitment, they carry it through. And in the very end, they want to give the message to the rest of the Jewish population. Just as we came in solidarity with you to fight the battles in the land of Canaan, when we cross over the Jordan, we are still one people. Never forget that. I would just like to add one postscript, which is a bit of a downer. But nevertheless, I would like to point it out because it creates a certain closure. I mentioned earlier that the two tribes seem to be motivated by promoting their economic well-being. They seem to be preoccupied with increasing their wealth. And in fact, the way the section begins is Umikne Rav in chapter 32 of Numbers. There was much cattle which the two tribes had. The cattle seems to be the focus of these two tribes, their economic well-being. And the rabbis in Midrash Rabbah, on the first verse of our parsha, castigate, condemn the two tribes. And I will paraphrase what they say. The two tribes, the tribe of Gad and Reuven, were very wealthy. They had large herds. They loved their money. And as a result, decided to settle outside the land of Israel. And then the Midrash goes on to say, hence, when the 10 tribes were exiled, they were the first ones to go into exile. And a verse is quoted from Chronicles. And what brought this about? Because they separated themselves from their brothers as a result of their possessions. When we read the Chumash and the book of Joshua, we get a very favorable picture of the two tribes. Favorable in that, although they want to have their possession on the eastern side, they very much see themselves as part of the Jewish people, part of Jewish destiny. They are faithful to their commitment. They are faithful to God and to Israel. They even set up a monument to be a reminder for all generations that we are one people. And yet, the Midrash has perhaps a longer vision, a deeper perception of what is going on. If in fact the two tribes are so caught up with promoting their wealth they should have had the vision to realize that the further they distance themselves from the core, from the center, the more they bring themselves under the influence of the surrounding peoples, the more they become assimilated into the environments which they are in. The message, think of your children before your cattle, perhaps was not fully internalized. And as a result, the moment they set in motion, setting themselves apart from the rest of the population, they created an inevitable process that led to a total break when the 10 tribes were exiled, with them at the helm. Something to consider when people have to decide where they will live is the driving force. Where will I make a good living? Or is the driving force, where can I best provide a Jewish education for my children? Where can I find a strong Jewish community? If economics take precedence over community and education, then it may be no wonder that in a generation or few generations down the line, the children will be both physically and spiritually totally cut off from anything Jewish. Israel today is at war on its northern border, on its southern border. Today is a time for all Jews to express their solidarity with the land of Israel, with the people of Israel. Not only are the soldiers fighting on the front, but regular citizens have now become the front. Almost 1 million people who are living in the northern part of Israel. Not everybody can be a soldier, but everybody can certainly express their solidarity, whether through words, whether through their finances, or just through their personal contact. The solidarity of the Jewish people is a key to our survival. May we be able to overcome all the obstacles in our path because of our unity. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated. Please send your email via podcasts@pardesusa.org. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Our listenership continues to grow through your help. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.